Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Jeremy, it looks like this week we've got a little bit more news to make Disney's Hollywood Studios even less of a destination for people to visit.
All right.
Yeah, because, you know, shutting down major sections of the park wasn't quite enough. We're also not going to have any Star Wars weekends moving forward.
But isn't the whole park pretty much, or a third of the park, going to be Star Wars?
Yes,
In a few years?
Yes, it absolutely will be. And that's... And the truth of the matter is that's why they're making this announcement. Well, I think it's that mixed with there won't be anywhere to put Star Wars weekends if you're shutting down and updating different areas of the park. You're going to lose a lot of those meet and greet areas and things like that. So yeah, it's going to be a temporary. In fact, I think once Star Wars Land comes on board fully, they might decide to still do Star Wars weekends,
but in Star Wars Land.
Yes, yeah, in Star Wars Land, and, you know, because it still gives them more of a chance to kind of pimp Star Wars a little bit more,
yeah.
I guess, during that period, and to change some other aspects of the park, because hopefully the rest of the time Star Wars stays in Star Wars Land. Or at least that's I don't know, is that your preference? My preference is Star Wars stays in Star Wars Land.
I think definitely now that Star Wars Land is going to be a thing, that, yeah, Star Wars will stay in Star Wars Land. Back when the park kind of went Star Wars for Star Wars weekends, they were tasteful in how they kind of handled Star Wars characters around the park and everything. But without Star Wars weekends, even if they did a Star Wars weekend type thing in Star Wars Land, I mean, at that point, it doesn't really make a difference because that place is going to be Star Wars all the time anyway.
Yeah, I think that moving forward, Star Wars weekends would provide maybe an opportunity for some... I think of it kind of like Frozen Summer Fun, which
right.
Now Frozen Summer Fun, there's not a Frozen Land. So again, kind of like Star Wars weekends right has been in the past, it offered the ability to step outside of the park for something that's not normally there. But... you know, it offers some stuff like, I don't know, I sure hope that Frozen, the Frozen sing-along thing, stage show, is not planned to be like a permanent fixture anywhere anytime soon. But it makes perfect sense as a every once in a while sort of thing.
Definitely.
And creates that, you know, that limited time appeal that then gets people out to the parks. And I think that was something Star Wars Weekends did as well.
Right. And you're not going to see Mark Hamill hanging out in Star Wars Land. But if they were to do a limited time Star Wars Weekends type thing in Star Wars Land, you might see Mark Hamill because he's been at Star Wars Weekends several years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So the moral of the story is if you were planning on getting your Star Wars Weekends fixed next year, you're not going to be able to do that. And again, for the foreseeable future, that's not going to be a thing, though we expect it to come back. Also in Star Wars news, we have the new Star Tours segment featuring Jakku from The Force Awakens will be soft opening November 16th. So if you're looking to get your new Star Wars episode fix a little bit early, you should be able to go and do that over at Star Tours. Though, you know, soft openings, they kind of are there for a little bit and then they close. You know, there's actually a video of this on YouTube, or there's a sneak peek of this up on YouTube, and I watched it, and I don't know, I just wasn't that impressed.
So I am of two minds about this. One, I love the fact that with the new digital Star Tours, they're able to just add and remove scenes. That is really exciting, especially with The Force Awakens coming out, that they can, without closing the ride, you know, just go in and add 10 new scenes, you know, add some new beginnings and new middles and new ends and do that. And that's really going to let them, especially as these next three movies come out, really keep that attraction fresh. I don't like that the movie's not out yet and they're already adding content from that movie. I am totally avoiding the trailer and spoilers and everything for this movie. Not because if I was forced to watch the trailer, it would not be the end of my life or anything. But I don't feel like I need to see the trailer because I'm going to see this movie. Even if I saw the trailer and I hated it and I was like, oh my gosh, they've ruined Star Wars, I would go see the movie anyway. So I don't feel the need to see the trailer. And it would, maybe upset is the wrong word, but it would make me feel like disappointed if a scene from The Force Awakens that I had no context of came up in Star Tours. Because a lot of the fun of Star Tours for me is going, oh my gosh, I know where this is. You know, I know Tatooine and I know Dantooine and I know Hoth and Alderaan. You know, I know all these places. And for something to take place in the world of Force Awakens where I have no context, I would feel like I was missing out on something almost because I don't know what's going on. I don't know who Jakku is.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at it again, as I said, I watched it and I was just kind of meh. I think two things here. Number one, the video definitely suffers from a lack of being in Star Tours. So as the movements are happening, you're just watching it going, okay. Cause you're, you know, I guess I could grab my desk chair and start like jerking myself around to get my,
I can imagine it. It seems very, very dramatic when all you see is like really, really big movements for things that wouldn't normally take, you know, or have such big movements, because when you're in Star Tours and the simulator's moving you around, that's what makes it exciting.
Right. And, but then I also think the other side of it is exactly what you have pointed to, which is that without, the only reason I know this is Jakku is because, you know, I've read that it's Jakku. I don't even know if I'm saying that right because I have not seen the film. And so it feels like...
Maybe his name is Jack U.
So
like
so,
the U is Uberman. Jack Uberman.
Yeah, since this is a planet name, I'm going to go with no.
Okay, yeah. Well.
So yeah, since this is a planet name, I'm going to go with that's not the case. But that without, again, as you said, without the context of knowing where this happens in the film, watching this little video, it's like, oh, they took a generic desert and big building area and there's the Millennium Falcon and something's flying around it. But it's not like when you see Hoth and you go, oh yeah, this is totally that scene from the movie, or, you know, the asteroid field or whatever it might be.
Without that context, that could be Tatooine. You know, I feel like they're really losing the fact that, ooh, this is new, because I've seen the teasers, and from what I've seen in the teasers, the planet depicted in the teasers looks a lot like Tatooine.
Yes, and that's the thing, is this looks like Tatooine slash spaceship graveyard, maybe. Mm. You know, and of course, there's a TIE fighter behind the Millennium Falcon and everything. But again, I agree with you. I think the movie will bring context to this. And so it's probably going to make more sense to watch it. I'll still be there on the 21st when we're actually at Hollywood Studios, and I will still go watch it. I don't care.
If it shows up, I mean, that's the other thing is... One, it's a soft open, and two, it's Star Tours. So even if the soft open part is there, wouldn't it be randomly selected if you'd see it anyway?
You would think that, but apparently Disney wants to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to see their new Force Awakens stuff. All that I know is that they've said pretty much initially everyone's going to receive that section of the film.
Dude. I that sucks. I think that's totally undermining the whole thing of Star Tours, you know, the adventure continues, where they made it to where everything's random, because I want to go on it more than once, but not if I'm going to see the, you know, if I'm going to have two random experiences and this Force Awakens experience every time.
Okay, come on. This is still a 67% randomized experience. Over half of the thing is randomized. You will live. And the other thing is...
It's the principle of the matter, Brad. It's the principle.
Okay, you're all pumped because you just saw The Force Awakens, right? And you're like, dude, I totally heard that Star Tours has new Force Awakens stuff in it. I'm going to go ride it. I'm going to get to do Force Awakens. And you go and you wait in that maybe 30-minute line. Or, excuse me, it's right after Force Awakens shows up. So, 60-minute line. And then you go ride it. And you get out and you're like, dude, there was nothing Force Awakens. Disney lied to me. And then you hear the person walking down the hallway at the exit going, oh my gosh, did you see the new Jakku scene? That thing was amazing. And you're like, no, because I get to go wait another hour to get another shot at this.
but a week from now I won't have seen The Force Awakens. And that's what's upsetting.
Oh, but they have to test it sometime. Okay, they have to test it sometime. Either way, the moral of the story is there's going to be new scenes from The Force Awakens. If you go after November 16th, it will be soft open. But of course, this is Disney soft opening, which means that once they get it right, it could very well go away, because I think the official opening is December 1st. So, we're going to be there on the 21st. It's very possible it will be gone by then anyway. So cool your jets, stop freaking out, and get ready to enjoy possibly a little Force Awakens spoiler for yourself. Okay. Of a place that will exist, but will, based on everything else that we've seen, will likely have nothing to do with what is actually going on in the film anyway.
I've got a fast pass for Star Tours, Brad.
I have a fast pass for Star Tours as well.
I'm going to go on it no matter what.
Because I looked at the fast pass opportunities and went, Star Tours.
Right, yeah. There are basically four things that you would need to fast pass in Hollywood Studios at this point, and so it's easy to pick three of them. So I've got Tower of Terror and Star Tours, obviously, and Rock and Roller Coaster, which I was surprised that I was able to book Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. I feel like last year they were in separate groups, but I've got Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours. So I'll definitely be on Star Tours, and I guess I can just cross my fingers that The Force Awakens won't show up.
Mine is Tower, Star Tours, and Toy Story Midway Mania, which, why did you not get Toy Story Midway Mania, man?
I was not able to get Toy Story Midway Mania, and I am kind of shocked that you were. Those fast passes go away almost immediately day of, you know, the day that they're available.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are more awesome at getting fast passes than other people. And thus, yeah, because have you even done Toys for Midway Mania yet?
I haven't. And that's, I think,
what
that
I thought.
Has,
that's what
that
I
has
thought.
Something to do with the fact that I guess I don't really have that much of an incentive, because I love Tower, I love Rock and Roller, and I love Star Tours. And so, like, when somebody says, you haven't done Toy Story Midway Mania, like, if the wait was 45 minutes, I'd wait in line for it, and I'd do it. And perhaps my next trip to Walt Disney World, I would totally be, like, raring to get a fast pass for it. But when I see, you know, Tower, Rock and Roller, and Star Tours, and I tell my wife, like, here's all the things, she told me, like, Tower, Rock and Roller, Star Tours. Those are the three things that I want to do. And I said, me too. And so I booked those. But if there's a short wait for Toy Story Midway Mania, which I'm not really holding my breath for, we would probably go on it. But there's so much more that we could do in Hollywood Studios with 90 minutes.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess that's my thought process behind making sure that you have a Midway Mania Fast Pass, is I want to do Midway Mania. I don't want to wait 90 minutes to do Midway Mania. And, you know, like I said, Rock and Roller is the only thing missing of the big attractions, or at least to me, the big attractions that are going to be, you know, decent waits that I don't have. And I can go rope drop that. But even if I don't, Rock and Roller tends to, what, like 45, 60 on the high end, I feel like.
Yeah. And we can try to rope drop Midway Mania, I guess.
I think that's what you're almost going to have to do if you don't have Fastpass for that. But yeah, so I did double check, and it is Rock and Roller and Toy Story are both in the select one from this group.
Okay.
And then and here's the thing, folks, I know we have talked about fast passes before, and we've probably talked about this exact thing before, but I'm going to bring it up again because it's baffling to me. The select one from this group experiences are Toy Story Midway Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Fantasmic. Thus far, I'm going, okay, I can get that, you know? I mean, Fantasmic's pretty easy to get into, but if you don't want to go sit and wait in that ridiculously long line, then more power to you.
Well, and Fantasmic, if you want to have dinner at the Brown Derby anyway, if you do Fantasmic dinner package, you've got reserved seating anyway.
Right. So essentially, you can either get your fast pass, use one of your fast passes, which is the free way to do it, or you can do the Brown Derby way, which is the slightly going to be more expensive way of handling it. But again, as you said, if you want to eat there anyway, that's the option. So those three all make sense to me, right?
Right.
Then there's Beauty and the Beast Live on Stage,
which is ridiculous.
Is that really, is that attraction really something that's I don't, and again, folks, this is not me like hating on Beauty and the Beast live on stage.
I'll hate on Beauty and the Beast live on stage. That is not an attraction that should be fast passable.
I don't need my my mom and my sister on my back, so I'm not going to hate on that. Plus, you know, again, it's I'm not going to go to it, but that's just because it's not for me. That's not because I don't think it's a good experience, or whatever. But it doesn't seem like something you would need a fast pass for. That's my thought about it.
Absolutely not.
And definitely not an A level, you know.
Right. That's like fast passing.
E-ticket fast pass.
That's like fast passing Lights, Motors, Action. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's always going to have space. And then the last one, which is just as confusing to me as Beauty and the Beast live on stage, the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been on Great Movie Ride quite a bit, and I've never fast passed it. And I've never waited longer than like 20 minutes.
See, that's 30 minutes is probably the high end for that attraction.
It's so steady, and the ride vehicles hold a lot of people. And I mean, that attraction is just really good at eating people, you know, and you have that movie montage where all the switchbacks are, and that's changed since TCM sponsored it. And right. So you've got a new movie montage now, but yeah, I can't imagine using a fast pass that's in the same group as Rock and Roller Coaster on the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah. So, and again, just like with Beauty and the Beast, this is not at all a comment on the Great Movie Ride as an attraction, because I enjoy the Great Movie Ride will be ridden when I visit, you know, in a week or whatever.
The Great Movie Ride is a great movie ride.
It is a great movie ride. But yeah, it's just like, how did those attractions end up in the A level? And then one other thing that I think we should probably hit on real quick, just because I've hit on it earlier. You know, as we talked about Star Wars weekends, and I made this comment about Frozen sing-along thing, you know, and how that's a great thing for summer fun. I just checked my fast passes, and there are fast passes available for the first time in forever Frozen sing-along celebration. And didn't Frozen Summer Fun end in like September?
It should have.
So if that's not going on, but the sing-along, is the sing-along celebration permanent now?
I really hope it's not permanent. I can understand if they want to keep it around, especially during the winter. What would be really awesome is if they could bring the snow effects from the Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios, and over the winter just make it snow on Hollywood Boulevard every night. That would be awesome. I think that would be a really good thing. You know, you have Frozen Summer Fun, which is themed a certain way, and then you have this First Time in Forever sing-along that they can, you know, theme more wintery.
Yeah, so now here's the thing, though. I will say, again, the issue that we are talking about when it comes to Disney's Hollywood Studios right now is not enough stuff to do. So
right.
If you have a cheap attraction, which are a cheap experience, which is what the sing-along celebration is for Disney, because they've got a spot, they don't have anything else to go there right now. So if they can keep Frozen in there and that eats some crowd, then I would imagine that's why they're doing it. I was just kind of surprised to see that, because I had just made the comment about how that's a great thing to do every once in a while.
Right.
Not really sure it's a permanent addition sort of a thing, and it's still going on. So
semi-permanent.
Yes, semi-permanent until we can actually make this park an all-day park again.
But yeah, Disney, Frozen, why not?
You know, that's the thing about Hollywood Studios. Like, I've heard people talking about it's not an all-day park anymore, and it hasn't been in a while and everything. As I sat down to look at it, I'm like, you know, it's really not an all-day park for me. The only reason it's an all-day park on this trip for me is because of the lights.
Yeah.
And like, that's going to be my night thing. And our family will go sit at the lights for, you know, hours, just taking it all in. And we've got the dessert party reservations, too, and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Minus that, it's I think we could definitely probably get DAC and Disney's Hollywood Studios done in a single day.
I'm excited that the two of us are going on this trip this year, because Disneyland and Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World are about to, for a few years, be under construction in a way that is going to majorly affect those parks.
I really enjoy the fact that Disney's doing new stuff. I really, really do. I like the fact that Disney doesn't just sit on their laurels, but there is some part of me that as I really start to think about, as broken as Disney's Hollywood Studios is, as lacking for a theme as that park is, there's still some part of me that it just gets all nostalgic as I recognize, like you said, that 2/3 of this park is going to be totally different very, very soon. And that just, I don't know, it hurts a little bit to recognize that.
Yep. It's going to be weird, man. Get your aerial photos, get your satellite photos of Hollywood Studios printed and framed now.
Don't worry, I'm sure Disney will be selling those.
I think that'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.